You know, I'm actually glad that sometimes God doesn't answer our prayers. There was a girl named Cheryl when I was in high school. Man, I just prayed, God, just let her be my wife. She's so beautiful. Well, I saw her at our 25th year high school anniversary or reunion. I can't tell you how glad I am that God didn't answer my prayer. And I'm sure when she saw me, she too was glad that God didn't answer my prayer.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Today, Pastor Wayne will be looking at some of the miracles in the book of Acts, and it raises the question, why don't we see miracles like that in our lives today? Well, the problem certainly cannot be on God's end of the line, so what is it that we are doing, or not doing, or what should we be doing to see those miracles today? Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Blessings in Disguise.
Would you take out your notes with me? We've been sort of meandering through the first part of the book of Acts, like on a scenic tour, and we're going to stop at a few lookout points and read the placards that explain the events of what's going on, and we're going to meander into chapter 3 of the book of Acts. You know, I look at the book of Acts and I see the miracles and the promises that God had promised to these guys and the things that we would see as impossible happening. And I just think, God, how come we aren't experiencing this? God, how can we be a church in the book of Acts? Because, Lord, if it's happening to them, it should happen with us. How can that be where it's happening there and not here? God, it just can't be. We've got to figure out, Lord, what are we doing? And God just, I remember, just quietly spoke and said, you can be a church like in the book of Acts because the same Holy Spirit that was here is now in this place. It's not different. He's not diminished. He hasn't reduced any of his power. He's still there. And I said, God, then what must we do to be able to tap into his power? Well, we're going to find out today how the Holy Spirit, who's been around since the beginning of time, is here to change us in such a way that the very things that he did in Acts, he can do yet today. It was in Acts chapter 3 that Peter goes to the temple and a man is healed who's been lame from birth. And the people say, this is impossible. This can't ever happen. So they gather, they all come to the city square, and Peter begins to speak to them. And I'm just going to read you a couple of verses to set the tone of where we're at, chapter 3. And we'll kind of land in chapter 3 today and see how the Holy Spirit is changing us so that we can posture our lives in such a way that he can move mightily again. It says, while people were clinging to Peter and John, they ran together and they gathered around in full amazement. It's impossible. But when Peter saw this, he said to the people, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Why do you gaze at us as if by our own power we have done the impossible and made this man walk? No, no. It's the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. The God of our fathers, and he who is glorified his servant Jesus, the one whom you delivered up, the one you disowned in the presence of Pilate, when Pilate decided to release him, you disowned the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer, Barabbas, to be granted to you, and you put to death the Prince of Life, but God raised him from the dead. A fact to which we are all witnesses. And now, brethren, he said, I know you acted in ignorance, just as your rulers did. But the things which God announced beforehand by the mouth of all the prophets is going to be fulfilled. So the people are saying, well, what should we do if we made this mistake? What do we do to get back on the wagon? How do we do this? He says, repent, therefore, and return, that your sins may be wiped away, in order that times of refreshing might come from the presence of the Lord. What should we do? Repent and return, in order that times of refreshing might come from the presence of the Lord. Now, let me ask you, how many of you could use some times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord? Raise your hand. Yeah. We all can. Well, how can this happen where that which would be impossible is now possible? Is it really impossible? See, a lot of us from time to time will be stuck in the impossible. An impossible marriage, we think, or an impossible financial condition, an impossible physical condition, whatever it might be. How can we be people who can overcome that and set that beneath us so that we can continue to shine as the people of God? Can the impossible become possible? Well, it is true. Can. Let me tell you how sometimes we think and how God is going to change us. Are you ready? So this is how the Holy Spirit is going to change the way we think, because it's not He, but maybe it's us that need to be changed. Let's say, for example, someone from the 1800s is miraculously transported right to the present. He appears on the street, and this time traveler is looking around, and let's say I'm talking on my cell phone to my brother. Let's say he's in California. All right, yeah, come over. Good. And he stops me and he says, "What are you doing talking into your hand?" I said, "I'm not talking into my hand." I show him my cell phone. I'm talking to my brother. He would say to me, "Your brother, he must be pretty small to fit in that little box in your hand if you're talking to him." I said, No. He's actually in California. He'd say to me, "You're transporting your voice over 2,000 miles? Oh, no. Hold on. This guy's asking me some questions. I'll call you back. Okay. Click. "Well, how are you doing that?" He says, "Well, it's actually cell phone technology. My voice is transmitted to a cell, and then it's broadcast into space into a low orbiting satellite. And then it's downloaded to another cell in California. And then his cell phone picks up the signal, translates it from digital to analog, and I can talk with him." This guy shakes his head and says, "That's crazy. That's impossible. You can't just bounce your voice off of space and talk to somebody across the water." And just to humor me, he says, "So what are you and your brother in the box talking about?" "Oh," I say, "he's going to fly over here tomorrow." "That's impossible." This guy would say from the 1800s, "You are crazy. That's impossible. People can't just fly." "Oh, no. They're going to fly in a plane, probably 300 people or so." "No, that's impossible." And he walks away shaking his head thinking, "That guy's crazy." Well, you see, to that person, it is impossible because of the limitations of his thinking. Now, because of technology, in the last 50 years, we've been able to do all of this. However, watch closely now. Did we really invent this stuff in the last 50 years? Not necessarily. Because of the law of physics and spatial gravity and transportation and jet technology, aerodynamics, because of these principles like physical principles of physics, these principles have been around since the dawn of mankind. Always been around, these principles, whether it's gravity, physics, aerodynamics, they've been around since the beginning of time. So we really didn't invent these things in the last 50 years. We have just begun to recognize these laws in motion and are learning to cooperate with them. We're just now recognizing these principles that have been in motion since the beginning of time, and we're learning to obey them. Do you understand? So we really didn't invent this in the last 50 years. We just learned to recognize them and cooperate with them. Now, did you get that? Okay. In the same way, life is like that. The very one who would work in us from one point in our life saying, "It's impossible," to a place where we say, the Holy Spirit working in us, that's normal. Miracles, things changing, it's normal. The same Holy Spirit who does all of these things and these acts has been present since the dawn of mankind. It was just in the book of Acts in that era, people began to recognize the moving of the Holy Spirit and started to cooperate with Him, to obey Him, and said, we're going to do that, and did that intentionally. So if you think about it, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the deep. Next sentence. And the Spirit of God hovered over the waters. And God spoke and said, let there be light. And poosh, light. Now, where was the Holy Spirit? He was there from day one, waiting for God to speak. In the same way, He's available now. And as we begin to recognize and cooperate, that which would have been impossible is now what? Possible. And the Holy Spirit's working in us to change the way we think. So we see it this way. That's what the people were in the book of Acts. And God, we're not waiting on God. He's waiting on us. Because His principles are the same. We just need to recognize that His laws work and start to obey them. And that's what was exactly what was happening in the book of Acts. And I thought, Lord, that can happen again today. Because you see, we've slid away from recognizing that the Spirit of God can work. And cooperating with Him, we've receded, we've disengaged a little bit. And God is saying, if you'll ratchet back and become radical Christians. You see, the word radical is actually that which comes from a Latin word. The root is radix. You know what the word radix means? It means core, or the roots of. So radical Christians, in its true definition, are those Christians that are not weird and way out. It's Christians that ratchet back to the root and the core of what the gospel is all about. Men and women who are recognizing the moving of the Holy Spirit and are learning to cooperate. That's radical in Christendom today. Because see, in a lot of sectors of Christianity, we are sort of doing what we want to do and ratcheting God to us. Radical Christianity is saying, no, we're going to go back to recognizing the Spirit of God, that He's moving in us and He's changing us. And we're going to let Him change us to Him, not Him to us. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. In fact, let's read at the top of our notes. You'll see in the book of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 3:18. Let's see what the Spirit of God is doing. Let's read it out loud. Would you? Go. But we all are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. The New Living Testament says it really well. Let's take a look and see how the Spirit now is moving. Are you ready? Let's read the next one. Go. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious. God is going to make us more and more like Him as we cooperate with Him changing us. As He changes us and we give into that, we become more and more postured in such a way that we receive His miracles, His promises. Things start to happen in our lives. But we've got to let Him change us. Otherwise, we're still back here saying, it's impossible. You say, really? Let's write it down in your notes. This requires us to recognize that He is working and cooperate with Him through daily obedience. Write that in your notes. It requires us to recognize that the Holy Spirit is working and cooperate so that He can change me. You say, but can people change that much so that we really move from disbelief to belief and impossible to possible? Absolutely. You bet you can. People can change. How many of you believe you can change? Raise your hand. Yeah. No one has been given an unchangeable life, even though we think so. Let me tell you a story. I was When I was in high school, my friends used to call me Pineapple. They called me several other names, but we won't mention them here because it's church. Now, some years ago, I met one of my old druggy friends. But let me tell you what took place. In high school, when he knew me as Pineapple, there were two words that were like swear words, bad words for me. The first was the word homework. That was a bad word. The second word, God. See, that to me, I didn't want to have anything to do with God. In fact, I used his name as a bad word. So much so that in my senior year, I dropped out of high school. It was just too boring for me. And I moved away from home, joined a rock and roll group, and began to do music. I embarked on a lifestyle of drugs and stealing and lying to get more money. And I was only 17 years old at this time. And I was living on my own. But then I realized after a while, this was a dead end life. And I was tired of lying and stealing. I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I wanted my life to be more. So by God's grace, someone led me in the prayer of salvation, a church kind of like this, and my life turned around. I became a Christian, opened my life to Christ. 3 months later, I entered Eugene Bible College, one of the college that we're working at right now. Finished my degree, started to plant churches under the movement of New Hope Christian Fellowship. Planted 108 churches, received a doctorate from our denomination, started writing books, and then now I'm finishing a second doctorate through Fuller Seminary. Then a couple of years ago, about a year and a half, I met up with one of my old druggy friends who only knew me now back here as Pineapple when we did dope together. Now, he found out where I was because he was walking through an airport and saw one of my books in the bookstore in the airport. And he pulled it out and said, "That's Pineapple." And the bookstore lady said, "Oh, no, that's a book." He said, no, I know this guy. Well, through that, he contacted me. We met. We talked about all that God had been doing. And he said, "Yeah, I know. I saw all these different books you had authored." And then the last thing he said was this: "You're the last person in the world I thought would ever become a priest." I said, "No, not quite a priest. I thought, you know what I mean. And then write all these books. You're absolutely the last person in the world I'd ever imagine that would do that." Now, what he said was pretty true, because this person that he knew back here called Pineapple, he could not do what God wanted done over here. There would have to be a substantially improved version of Wayne for that to take place. You understand? This one couldn't do it. There had to be a huge change and more change until this new version God could start to work through. But that one over there, not on your life. He could never do those things. That's why when he said, "You were the absolute last person I think would do," he was absolutely true. The kid back then would never have been able to accomplish anything. But here's the good news. I wasn't stuck with being that kid the rest of my life. I wasn't stuck with being that kid. I could change. Do you understand? See, when I wanted more, all I had to do was change. If my life wasn't going well, all I had to do was change. And the Holy Spirit saying, "That's what I'm doing in you. And if you would recognize that and cooperate, watch what I can bring you to and then release or unlock your future." I'm not waiting on him. I bet he's waiting on us. And one of the greatest blessings of all is when God enters your life and begins to change you. How are you doing in cooperating with him? You see, that's what he says right here in Acts chapter 3 and verse 26 as we camp in chapter 3 for a bit. Let's read what it says right here in our notes. Go. "For you first, God raised up his servant Jesus and sent him to..." Stop right there. He sent Jesus to what?
Yes.
He sent him to what?
Yes.
Bless you. How? Go. "By turning every one of you from your wicked ways." And you think, that's not a blessing. But God's greatest blessings is not giving you a few dollars more. God's greatest blessings is changing you from glory to glory. Because He can give you a few bucks more and we'll squander it because we're the same kid. But if He will change us and we'll cooperate with that, watch what He's about to do. He said, well, how do you cooperate? Well, let me give you a couple of stages in how God works, and then I'll give you some good news of what takes place. Are you ready? The first thing that God is going to do in our life, and you can write this down, by His Holy Spirit, who's the same now, yesterday, today, and forever, and we start to recognize His working, when we cooperate with Him, what's the first thing He'll do? Here it is. The first change is this. He will help us to choose between right and wrong. You say, well, that's easy, right and wrong. No. You think it's easy, but often we choose what's worst rather than what God's best is. Even though we know what God's Word says, our flesh and our self-want is so strong, we trump God's Word. And God is saying, if I'm going to change you, that's the first thing that has to go. Because like I said, there's a huge sector of Christianity that figures out that this is the way I want to do stuff, and I'm going to retool God to agree with me until it sounds super spiritual, and basically it's just to reduce guilt. And I use God as a guilt reducer. And God is saying the first thing you can't do is you can't switch right for wrong and expect me to give you that which you would think is impossible. That which I want to give to your life and your future to be unlocked, the first step is you got to know to choose right from wrong. You say, but that should be easy. Even people in Jesus' day did it badly. It was a choice between Jesus and a murderer, Barabbas. Guess who they chose? Let's read about it. Acts 3, verse 14 through 15, go. But you disowned the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, but put to death the Prince of Life. We still do that today. We know what God's best is, but we choose something else, hoping that no one will ever find out, but not knowing that it ain't about people finding out. It's about a spiritual debt that is incurred when we violate our own hearts and God's Word. It has nothing to do with people. It has everything to do with our own soul and future. We lock our future up. And so God is trying to teach us the difference between right and wrong. How many of you have really craved and maneuvered and manipulated for something you really wanted, and then when you get it, you think, oh no, man, there's so much baggage to this. What did I do? How many of you? Come on. Yeah. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Yeah. We all do that. Even sometimes we pray for something and then realize, oh no, this is terrible. Now I'm stuck with this. You know, I'm actually glad that sometimes God doesn't answer our prayers. Yeah, I tell people, there was a girl named Cheryl when I was in high school. Man, I just prayed, God, just let her be my wife. She's so beautiful. She'll just be my wife. Man, I'll just serve you all the days of my life. Well, I saw her at our 25th year high school anniversary or reunion. I can't tell you how glad I am that God didn't answer my prayer. And I'm sure when she saw me, she too was glad that God didn't answer my prayer. And so one of the first things that God's going to do in order to help us to see that things that would be impossible to become possible, and the working of the Holy Spirit can move in our lives, the first thing, folks, is listen, God's going to just help you to learn what's right from wrong. Be careful, because in a world that we live in today, wrong is right and right is wrong. And God wants to ratchet us back as radical Christians to what He used to do in the book of Acts. And He says it's still available today. And instead of trying to match God to their image, they said, God, change us into Your image. And now His Spirit is changing us from glory to glory into His image by the Spirit of God. But it starts with us individually. And the first step is He'll just help us to know the difference between what? Right and wrong. That's foundational.
You've just heard part one of a message entitled Blessings in Disguise by Dr. Wayne Cordero. Tomorrow, Pastor Wayne will show us the importance of changing the way we think. We hope you'll join us. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.